Hey there, I'm Kevin Daisy.
And I'm Eric Olson.
You're listening to the Managing Partners Podcast, where we interview top lawyers about how they're growing their firms. Hey there, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. I'm Kevin, and I'll be your host. Today, I have an interesting guest in a different field of law, and I'm excited to have her on here today, Sarah Shigman. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, yeah. We connected. Heard her name, looked her up on LinkedIn, decided to just connect with her, and then she said, hey, interesting podcast you have. So I reached back out and said, hey, well, how about you maybe could be on the podcast? And anyway, we share a client together, and here we are. So we got talking about niching and how important that is and how well it's done for myself. And Sarah's going to talk about, you know, how it's helped her as well. So that's what we're going to get into today. So tune in. If you want to know more about niching and how that can help your law firm. But first, Sarah, if you would, introduce yourself and tell us your story.
Sure. I'm Sarah Shickman. I am a first-generation lawyer. I came with my family from Ukraine when I was 10. And the dream was always for my brother and I to become, you know, successful American professionals that we couldn't do back in the old country. And so I went to law school thinking that I would probably do big corporate law and make a lot of money and, you know, figure it out later, because that seemed like the greatest thing. And so I did that, and I was practicing in big law in New York for a while, and I really didn't love it. I felt like the lifestyle, the lack of creative thinking, the super hierarchical nature was just not what I liked. And so a couple of friends of mine recruited me to be a CEO of an online furniture startup. And I didn't know much about furniture or about being a CEO, but they said, you know, we'll give you a chance, and you're good at figuring things out. And this was back in, I think, 2010, when like the internet wasn't popular in terms of selling furniture online. So we started doing that. I did that for a few years. And then I missed practicing law. And my husband at the time wanted to start an aesthetics business. And I was like, what's aesthetics? I know law, I know furniture, I have no idea what aesthetics means. And he's like, well, you know, it's going to be like Botox clinics. And I said, that sounds good. Let's do it. And so we started this company together, a bunch of Botox clinics. And then I realized that there was a lot of legal involved in that. And a lot of our competitors were always coming to us and saying, hey, can you help me? And I was like, no, I really can't. I'm the lawyer and the CEO for this other thing. And then eventually I started my own firm in 2019 and now have over 1,000 clients just in that space, in the med spa aesthetic space. So it's kind of a very non-traditional legal journey. And it's really a combination of being an entrepreneur and also helping lots of entrepreneurs.
That's really cool. That's awesome. Yeah, I love the, you know, non-traditional routes and the stories that I hear on this show. So really cool how you got into that. And 1,000 clients in the med spa space. That's impressive. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's been fun. I mean, I think it's been great because at the end of the day, I really like helping people build their businesses. Like, and I get to do that every single day. And I have a team of, you know, associates and off counsel and a partner and a lot of people helping me to do that. And it's been amazing. And I never knew that this type of law even existed. I didn't even know what, you know, Botox was in 2010, but here we are. It's a really great space.
That's excellent. Yeah. It's definitely a growing space. And, you know, for those that aren't familiar, because I have a law firm marketing agency, I also own two other agencies, and one is in the med spa aesthetics space. And so that's kind of how me and Sarah connected, oddly enough. So I'm all about niching. Obviously I have two other marketing firms that niche completely, different teams and focus, just like Array does with law firms. And we can go deep into that and really understand it. So I wanted to put your website address up here as well for people to go check you out, check out your website, check out your firm. And how do you say the firm name again?
So Lingia jack it up. Law.
Say that again.
Lingia Law.
Lingia Law. And background on the name.
Yeah. So from my e-commerce background, I knew that having a short domain name and something that sounds smart is better than a name that just has my name in it, because then everyone's going to come and say, I just want to work with Sarah Shickman. And that's not fun. So I picked a name that sounded what I thought was smart and was a pretty short domain. So not a super, you know, awesome, like in the middle of the night, I thought of this creative name, but it works for us. And as I say to our clients who also can't pronounce the name, I don't care what you call us as long as you call us. So if you mispronounce it, no big deal. Like, as long as you reached us, you're at the right place.
Well, me as a host, I just want to make sure I don't mispronounce it. So, but no, it's easy. It's short. Those are all good. You know, that makes a lot of sense to me. I think time and time again, I see these law firms with, you know, all their keywords in their name and it's super long, like blah, 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 city, criminal defense attorney.com. Like it's getting a little out of hand. So I definitely like the cleanness and the shortness of it and, you know, for ease of use. So I agree. And then it's, you know, it's versus your name. You can build a brand around the company. And since you are in a B2B, that makes a lot of sense. So we'll check her out. It's L-E-N-G-E-A law.com. So if you're listening on audio, it's L-E-N-G-E-A law.com. You can check her out. So, well, let's get into a little bit more about your firm, the makeup of your firm, I guess, and you know, your team. And then we'll kind of move more into the niching aspect. And I know you focus on a couple of different areas, so we can get into that too. But tell us more about the firm itself and kind of the structure you have going on there.
Sure. We are a fully distributed firm. So we allow people to work from wherever they want to work. And we have people from anywhere from California to the Philippines to India to Texas to Florida and pretty much everywhere in between. So it allows us to really look globally for the best people, which is really cool. And then it gives us the flexibility to give our team flexibility. So if people want to work from, you know, Europe for the summer or Thailand or whatever, that's, you know, that's okay with us as long as they're able to work the hours that we need them to work. And it's been interesting just experiencing other people's cultures. And because we're such a melting pot here in the US anyway, a lot of our clients are not from here. So having this global team helping them is cool. And it also means if a client is like sending us an email at 2 o'clock in the morning, well, it's 2 o'clock in the morning in New York, but it may be, you know, I don't know, 12 p.m. in the afternoon in India. So one of our people who's working from there is totally okay answering that email.
That's awesome. I love that. So I think I might come work for you.
Great. I don't know if we could afford it. I don't know.
You can give me some low-level job. I don't need anything special. I can work from Europe or Thailand. Okay, great. Yeah. That's awesome.
Hey there. This is Kevin Daisy, your host and founder of Array Digital. If you're tired of wasting money with agencies that just can't get it done, then please check out my law firm, digital marketing agency at arraydigital.com. If you contact us there, you'll be sure to line up a meeting with me where we'll walk through your exact situation and come up with a plan for what you can do to improve your marketing results. I look forward to talking to you. Now back to the show.
What's the kind of the size of your team? And
yeah, so there are 12 of us. We're in the process of hiring two more right now, so we'll hopefully be 14. And most people are either attorneys or legal assistants. We really have like only two sort of administrative or operations people. So most of us are attorneys licensed in a couple of different states, and then we have some legal assistants as well.
Excellent. That's awesome. That's really cool. So what about as far as offering, you know, obviously you have folks that speak different languages. Is that something you use to your advantage?
Yeah. So most of our clients want to communicate with us in English. So we do only hire people who are proficient in English. Because a lot of the industries that we serve, like med spas or dental or mental health, are dealing with patients in the US and most of their patients are English speaking. That's something important to us. We also have a few people who speak Spanish and some other languages, but I would say 95% of our client base is English speaking. And so about 95% of our staff is English speaking.
Got it. Figured I'd ask and let's see. So, so, you know, as far as you have 1,000 clients, so you built a lot of clients. So other than just niching, you know, what's really, obviously you niching down your message and your brand and your focus, but you know, what's worked well for you to break in and gain those clients? You know, what kind of, you know, kind of clicked or what to kind of started to happen to where you're saying, okay, we're signing up lots of clients and we're growing this.
Yeah, a few things. Well, first, I think I have this experience of running med spas that is pretty unique. So then when I'm speaking to clients, I could really relate to their like day-to-day problems like hiring or their credit card processing machine not working or their Google listings page not working or their toilet overflowing. Like I've dealt with each of those issues. And so we could offer so much more than just the traditional, like, here's your contract for your, you know, rental agreement or whatever. So I think like that has been really important. And so, you know, for people who have experience in these different industries, like you could bring your experience into your law firm. So if you used to, you know, work for your dad's plumbing company or whatever, like you have this experience that makes you much more relatable to plumbing companies because you know them, you've been around them, you've worked in them. So I think that's been cool. A lot of our clients are female and we're like a mostly female law firm as well. And so that's been a great way to relate to our clients because a lot of them are female, single moms, starting a business for the first time, just have a lot of conflicting things that they're trying to do. And I get that. So I think that, and also with one of my friends and clients, like maybe 3 years ago, we wrote a book. Oh. It was like during the pandemic, business wasn't super busy. And we like really, you know, sat down and she was in Ohio, I was in New York, and we wrote this book called Med Spa Confidential, which has now sold like thousands of copies on Amazon. And wow. Through that book, we've gotten a ton of leads and a lot of new clients because a lot of people come in and they say, oh, I read your book. I've like heard about you because of this book. So that's been cool. That was my first, it's my first and only book, but it's so easy these days to publish something on Amazon or some other place. It's totally doable. So, and when I say a lot of things are easy, I should say that like, it's easy if you try really, really hard and are not too afraid of failing. So if you just take that mindset, it's easy. You could write 10 books, but you know, maybe your first book is not going to be amazing and that's okay. Like, I don't think my book is the greatest book ever, but a lot of people like it.
Well, I mean, the thing is, again, you're niche down, you're focused, you've been in the space, so you have the background. These new med spas start, you know, they're trying to start on their own small. And I know how small they start out, you know, renting a space from someone else and doing a couple of the treatments on the side and then, you know, building it up from there. So they're probably looking for a lot of help and turning to Amazon or looking for books or podcasts and you come up, right? So there's probably not a whole lot of options that like, let me find a book about med spa, you know, whatever. And so that's really smart. That's really smart, especially with your downtime during COVID, you know, to put that together and focus on content and putting that out there. So that's awesome.
Thanks.
Has there been any like, you know, networks or groups or, you know, conferences? You know, what else has kind of helped you kind of get your name out there and grow? Is it just all referral from a few clients over time?
We've had a lot of referrals. I think I'm also very active online, like posting about new things on like LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram. So I think a lot of like social media postings we do. I don't do too many conferences just because they're so time consuming. And I could, you know, I could meet with 20 people a day on Zoom without traveling anywhere. And so I love traveling, but for fun, not to, you know, go to a conference. So I think less conferences and more these types of things. And also, yeah, we get a ton of business from referrals and a lot of our like online presence, right? We have great Google reviews and we update our website. We have a very active blog. So
very good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the online marketing that you guys do is super important. So I think like without that, even if, I mean, we have lots of clients coming in, but if they were coming in and they saw like one Google review or like a crappy website, I think they would feel very confused. And they would
trust.
Right.
Yeah, don't trust the source. Yeah. I mean, for everyone listening, I mean, what you've done in short order, I mean, 2019, you started, you obviously have some background experience, but you built a foundation and trust very quickly. You know, the book, big trust factor, it's a helpful thing, right? I wrote the book on it. Reviews, a polished website, active content. I mean, these are all things that law firms should be doing. And, you know, what I do see, unfortunately, I see a lot of shortcuts. So a lot of law firms like using AI for their blog content. It's not written by them. It's not authentic. It can be found anywhere. And so it's just people are pumping out stuff. And I think they need to stop that because, again, their credibility is on the line. Business firms, I don't see that trend as much, but on the consumer side, the retail practices, they're just trying to win online. And so they're just pumping stuff out there, but quantity is not always better. So, but I think what you've done is you built a good foundation. You built a brand, you build trust. You wrote the book, you have reviews, that all shows well. And then you become the thought leader, you know, you're the go-to person.
Yeah. And I think I really, like I said, this is an industry that I really enjoy. I'm a big consumer of it myself. Like I really believe in it. So I think that my clients, I think hopefully can feel and my team can feel. So I'm selling something that I really believe in. And I think it's like this industry, the aesthetics med spa industry, is really life-changing for so many people. Consumers who, you know, come into the office literally looking like they're 50 and walking out looking like they're 40. Like the type of feeling you get when that happens to you is so incredible. So being able to support businesses that do that is really cool for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm really 65. I've been going myself.
You never know how old anyone is in this industry. Like, no idea. Like I see men with full heads of hair, you know, who are like, you know, in their late 60s and 70s, you know, and I'm like looking at them on Zoom and looking at their hairline and think like, wow, you know. So I mean, whatever works.
That's right. I might need to be going here soon. Well, so no, I just, again, you know, what you're doing is great. And again, in short order, you know, you're growing your staff, you have a huge clientele, you know. How many med spas are there in the country? I don't know.
Good question. I would say like active, probably between 25,000 and 30,000. And so, you know, when I think about it, I'm like a 5% market penetration would be amazing, right? Yeah. I'm never going to have 100% of the clients. Like that's not even a realistic goal. But if I have like 3,000 of that 30,000, that would be like incredible.
That's pretty impressive. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Other med spa specific law firms that you see out there, I assume there's probably a few, but. Or is it just really more, they also do that, but it's not like their specific niche?
No, there are a couple of others, but they're not us. Like,
that's right. You're not her. Can't be her.
No.
If you're watching this, go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, but it's cool. The thing is that it's a big enough market where there's room for so many people. So it's not, I'm not like, well, if it's there, you know, if someone's using a different law firm, great, like no problem. There are thousands of potential clients. And then there are lots of other industries that we're in also, like wellness clinics and mental health and cosmetic dentistry, where we're just in a way have maybe like 100 clients in that space, but growing very rapidly as well.
Excellent. That's awesome. So yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, I have a lot of competitors in my space, legal marketing, and I know quite a few of them. And there's some really good ones out there. And I've had some of them on the show, and I got some more that I just met at a conference that I'll probably have on the show to just talk, you know, to help the audience and the law firms that are listening. Because yeah, there's tons of clients out there, and we can't work with all of them. And some might not be a good fit. You know, we might not want to work with all of them. So, you know, I like that abundance mindset is important for sure. And yeah, I like that for sure. Well, you know, I appreciate you sharing kind of everything about your niche and your background. It's definitely unique and different. You know, what was the name of your book for anyone listening that is a med spa or maybe knows a med spa owner? I'm sure a lot of my law firms know some med spa owners out there. So what was the name of the book again?
The name of the book is Med Spa Confidential.
Med Spa Confidential. Is that linked off your website?
Yes.
Anywhere? Okay. We'll go back to her website if you want to check that out, or I'm sure you can just Google it, Med Spa Confidential. And, you know, Sarah, with thinking about other lawyers out there, obviously you started like right before COVID hit. You're like, law firm, new law firm. Oh, COVID. So I'm sure that was challenging. But any young attorneys out there, or maybe your solo attorneys that are listening in that really just haven't grown a team or took the next step, you know, maybe what's a tip that you could share for someone that's just kind of like either scared or just not taking that next step to hire that first person, you know?
Well, I would say...
Put you on the spot.
No, but that's fine. I get put on the spot all the time. I want to make sure I give good advice. I would say that sometimes expect that the first person you're going to hire and the first thing you're going to do in every kind of new thing is not going to be successful. Expect to fail. And then just know that with the next person, you're going to learn a lot of lessons and you'll get the right hire that next time. Same thing with your marketing agency, maybe with your office space, with everything else that you can think of. So I'm not saying that you should say, I'm a failure, I'm never going to try again. I think the key difference between people who are successful and people who are failures is people who are failures, they just fail once and then they stop, they give up. The people who are successful are not people who never failed. I've made so many mistakes, you know, thousands of mistakes. I would say for every number of clients that I have, it took me thousands of mistakes to get to where I am. And so just think about it like this. You may hire someone, you're a lawyer. You can have a very nice contract that favors you. So if you made a mistake, you can part ways in a nice way. So you could protect yourself and then hire the next person who will be better for you. And with each experience, things will get better. So just have faith and keep trying. It's a process for all of us. We don't have all the answers.
I love that. That's perfect. I like that you made it simple too. It's expect to fail and you know, not just at hiring, but everything that you haven't done before. Mm-hmm. You know, if you hire a marketing agency, like you've never worked with one. So they don't know that maybe, and they think you're a bad client or you're not listening to what we're trying to tell you, but you've never done it before, right? So just do it. That's kind of what you're saying. I think that's what you're getting at.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just do it.
Do the things you need to do because you know you're not going to do them perfectly, and then you're going to do it again and again and again. And so I think that's great advice for sure. We got to get things moving. You know, life's pretty quick. You know, you want to be at, you know, I just came back from a conference, really good conference, by the way. And it was also fun, not just a conference, but it's called 8-figure firm. It's eight, you know, firms that are trying to get to 8 figures or more. So 10 million plus. And some there had already exceeded that, but you know, they're grinding, they're going, and you know, that's their goal. You got to make a lot of decisions and have a lot of failures to get there. So, you know, just start making the decisions, people. And don't, you know, you're going to fail. You're going to mess up.
Yeah. So. Like think of your like first kiss. Like, you know, mine was like, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to say how old I was, but like we're in day camp and we're at a playground and the first one really wasn't good. Definitely not. But the second one and third and subsequently was much better. So it's the same thing. Like you just have to try, or you could stay home for the rest of your life and never try. And that's it. But business is just like an extension of yourself where you're putting yourself out there, you're trying, and you just get better with every time you try.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, just think about, yeah, if you're excited, I think, you know, for me, it's you're excited for what you're building and what's to come, which makes you excited about the here and now and the things you're doing right now. I just, you know, was speaking at a law firm in front of like 30 attorneys. I was like, oh, I haven't spoken in front of a group in a while. So, you know, I had to put together a presentation and just show up. And it was just like, next thing you know, bam, I'm just in front of everyone talking. So it's just, you know, it wasn't perfect, I'm sure. But you just got to get out there and do it and get excited about the next thing and roll, right? Let's mm-hmm. go. So great advice. I appreciate, you know, you sharing today on how you've niched down. You know, I don't think I've had a law firm ever on the show that's kind of been niche in that space, the med spa aesthetic space. If they were, like I said, it was one of the 1,000 practice areas that they have, you know. Yeah. Our industries that I focus on. So it's cool to see a niche in there like that. So
thank you.
Yeah. Well, Sarah, anything else you'd like to share with the audience before we go?
Nope. Not a thing.
Not a thing. Got everything. We got everything covered.
Yep.
Well, everyone check Sarah out. We connected on LinkedIn. She connected right back with me. And so I'm sure she would connect with any of you out there looking to get any help from her or any tips. So look her up on LinkedIn. Also, you can go to her website, which is down below. It's again, for if you're listening on audio, it's LENGEA law.com, and go check her out. She's got a nice polished website, a nice strong brand, and I think there's a lot you can learn from just checking her out online. So go do that. All right, Sarah, you can stay on with me. We'll chat backstage. We'll say bye to the audience. Everyone, hey, thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate all of you. You got any questions for me or Sarah, you can drop a comment, you can message me or reach out to her through her website, and I'm sure she can help you out. So we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yep. Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening. We have been producing this podcast for years, have had hundreds of guests, and produced hundreds of episodes. We don't ask for much, but I do have one ask. If you find value in this podcast, please share it with one person just like you. The best way to do that is to send them to arraydigital.com, where we have a full library of all the episodes that they can sort by practice area and or state. So again, we appreciate you listening and thanks for sharing.